everybody. Recruiting Animal here on December 7th, 2011. I was interviewed last night on the HR Margo show, and I put my heart and soul into it, so I'm a bit tired today, I must say, and I'll try to keep this introduction short and low-key. I noticed the topic is low-key as well. I noticed that people are getting ready here in Canada to commemorate a famous murder that took place in Montreal a few years ago. Some nut, someone who was deranged, I don't know what was wrong with his brain, went into a school, went into a class, an engineering class, told all the guys to get out of the room, and he had a gun with him, a rifle, and after they left, he shot all the women. 14 girls died. And lots of people blame the guys for leaving the room. I sympathize with that point of view, but I think they'd never been in that situation before, and they were just too stunned to think about what they should do or could do. But now we know, after Columbine and that case in Virginia, we know what a crazy gunman wants to do. So we know if you're in a situation like that, the best way to deal with it is to get together as a team and attack the guy all at once. You have to be ready to form a team all of a sudden and go after the guy. On Flight 99 that Al-Qaeda hijacked and was taking a fly into the, I think you call it the Capitol building down there in Washington, the people probably weren't any more heroic than those guys in the Montreal classroom, but they already knew that the towers had gone down in New York, or that they were hit, and that there was no point in playing along with those hijackers. But even so, it still took an individual like Todd Beamer to get the team going. So it's obvious, but I'll say it, both things are important, teamwork and individual initiative. They don't rule each other out. Here, of course, on this show, we do work as an informal team. In fact, sometimes we're so helpful that we get in each other's way. On Jerry Jerry, what show is this?
The recruiting animal.
Wait for it.
Show! Animal, he was too focused on me this morning. He could not get that out. I apologize if I distracted him.
You know, you guys, I have to say, no banning on this show. Nobody's that bad. And you know,
here's the deal. The dude is full of negative energy, and I'm just saying, I simply don't. The after show is not about negativity. It's not
about Gary. You open your eyes, you'd see he talks to you just like you talk to me. It's constantly, Animal is an idiot. Everything he says is nonsense. I used to like the show. But now it's nothing. Yeah. I don't kick you off.
Hey.
I don't kick you off the show, and
hey,
you're not
going
to kick him off, okay?
Hey, I just don't need it. If he is ready to say that he's done with it, then I embrace his participation.
Fine, let's leave it for an hour. We'll let the guest, she's a mature person, we'll let her maybe sort it out. Now, we got a guest today that Jerry brought to the show. Linda Brenner, are you here?
I am here.
Thank you. You see, you've got your hands full already. And welcome to the show. I thought our friend Timmy Spagnola, I think his name is, from recruitingblogs.com, I thought he was going to come here today and talk about a new product called Recruiter Lube. But it looks like that's been put on hold, or I'd use it on these two guys. But speaking about lube, I saw an article on your blog, Linda, called Bottom-Up Organization Design. And
right.
maybe that's what you guys do. You know, you're the recruiter lube in certain organizations that have become stagnated or something like that. Is that a fair comparison?
You know, I think companies that want to amp it up a little bit are pretty much the people we work with. And, you know, a variety of different scenarios, but common among them all is...
Okay, I'm going to cut you off now because that wasn't the answer I wanted, blah, 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 blah. Okay, Linda came to me from a recommendation by Jerry. Jerry, Jerry Albright from this show was the star of the recent recruiting conference in Chicago in November. That's what I understand. It's true. All kinds of groupies were coming up to him after his appearance, but you know, some people waited till those groupies had gone and they approached him for a serious conversation, and one of them was Linda, and she wowed him.
I disagree with the characterization of a groupie.
No, he said that after the groupies left, then you came up.
Okay, good. Thanks for that clarification.
I didn't say you were a groupie. The other girls were groupies, okay?
And there were some guy groupies, which made me uncomfortable, but it's all part of the show.
Watch it, Jerry. This is a politically correct show, okay? So Linda is the managing director of Designs on Talent. As I understand it, that's a consulting firm that goes into big companies, analyzes or audits their recruiters and their recruiting process, and tells them what's wrong with it and how the recruiters can improve and how the process can be improved. And she's had, you know, senior positions like director of retail staffing at Home Depot, so she's got hands-on experience. Well, she's not just talking from the ivory tower. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Isn't that right, Linda?
I think that is right. And because we almost always stick around to actually try to fix it, we have skin in the game. So it's not just coming in and, oh, you're doing this wrong and you stink at that and this is a problem, but we actually fix it. So we work with the team.
Now, I just
and
want
if
to
I can just
something.
Say, I'm so happy that the guest this week is somebody who is practicing recruiting in 2011, just not an old school contingency recruiter. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Okay.
You're so welcome.
Great. That's Mike Astringer, at Mike Astringer, and you're at Designs on Talent. That's the guest today,
yes.
At Designs on Talent. Her name is Linda Brenner. And what's the name of your company, designsontalent.com?
Designsontalent.com.
Okay, great. Now, I just got an aside. Yesterday, on Monday, I was watching the live stream from TalentNet Live, and Jason Seiden, an enemy of mine online, he said that if you have too many names on your LinkedIn account, people start to look at you suspiciously. I think he meant that they think you're some kind of hustler. I just want to know if you agree with him or me, because I don't believe that.
I absolutely agree with you.
What do you mean too many names?
Over 500. When it says, you know, you've got over 500 names, they won't show more than 500.
Okay.
Connections.
Do you agree with that?
Yes. Ask Linda. I don't agree with it. That's what Seiden said. At Seiden. And she agrees with me, not with him.
I agree with Animal. I think, first of all, if you've got the downtime necessary to click around and determine to what extent somebody's over 500 people, you could probably be doing something more productive with your time. But with that said, when there's 25,000 connections and you put it in your headline, yeah, you're trying to get as many friends and connections as you possibly can, but that's 0.0.
Okay, let's drop that topic. Now, how would you describe yourself? You told me yesterday you're involved in staffing optimization. Is that like one of your favorite terms?
It is actually. I hate all the terms associated with the description of what I do. I mean, can you imagine something worse than someone who says they're an HR consultant, a staffing process improvement expert? I mean,
it's almost as bad as staffing artist.
Did you have your hand over the receiver on your phone? Or
I do
a few
not.
Fingers?
Do not. No.
Okay,
well,
you sound a bit muffled to me. So you told me one of the hot topics, I talked to you for a few minutes yesterday while you were in your kid's dojo, and you told me one of the big topics for you is recruiter skills. You're always asked, when you go in there and you analyze these recruiting processes and you take a look at the recruiters, what do you see more than anything else? So you go ahead and tell me.
Well, one of the things we do for clients is we have a recruiter assessment center. It is a very structured, validated process by which recruiters go through a series of 5 simulated activities, and we judge them. We evaluate their skills at using a very structured process: sourcing, cold calling, interviewing, influencing, and managing stakeholders. We stay up late at night. We write 15-page feedback reports and development plans, and we have a treasure trove of data from a wide variety of organizations and hundreds of recruiters who've been through the program that really objectively give us insight about what
so,
they
So, yeah, that's the
at.
Preamble. You haven't answered my question yet.
Well, but nobody
what
else heard
see
that fascinating.
More than anything else.
Missive.
Now, since you're talking about that, I'll shift the question, first of all. You said that you've got a simulated recruiting environment that you put these monkeys in and watch them. I want to know, what is that? Is it a special room with, you know, one-way mirrors and mics, or what is the simulated recruiting environment?
When you just said it, it sounded somehow indiscreet, but it's a,
dirty.
It's a role. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It's either a role play or it's a web-based application. But yes, they go into a room. You're a recruiter, and I'd be like, "Hey, Animal, nice to meet you. Here's your packet of information. I'll be back in character in 20 minutes." And then we use a structured approach to, you know, I'm scripted as a role player, and then you do your thing. Or I sit you in a room in front of a laptop and say, "Here is a mission-critical job. Here is a sourcing plan template. You have 45 minutes to find me 5 passive candidates for this job. I want, and then turn them into me. And if you don't know what passive means, then it's probably going to be a long 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
45
don't
minutes
know what
is all you get.
Means.
You get 45
well, it
minutes.
Depends on the job, Jerry. It might be 60 minutes.
I'd need like 3 days.
That's what I
no.
Would I be fired?
Well, you would just be disciplined. Severely.
Define passive.
What?
What?
Define
well,
passive. I don't
is
know.
Animal
we know what a passive
speakerphone?
But go ahead. Please, that guy
you
who can't pick up the phone.
Are you asking for 5 resumes
and define passive.
Out of the blue, or are you asking for 45 minutes to call and find? Define what you expect the person to find, because 3 days to an hour could be anywhere in between.
That's
well,
Alan Cantankerous Fleurer.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good to know. I'm making a note of that.
Alan Fleurer.
Well, the exercise is to build a sourcing plan targeting passive candidates. That your plan, so it's building a plan. So the plan is just writing down, what am I going to do? And then I need to go use that plan within the period of time, which might be an hour, to then find...
Names, Jen. You're talking
names.
About names
yeah,
generation.
Yeah, names. They're
point.
Passive. They don't have... If you give me a resume, I'm going to be like, you failed. I'm not going to say that. We would never say that, but... You're struggling to perform.
No, some people
well.
Have their resumes linked into their LinkedIn profile, so they would be passive.
That's
so
very
resume,
true,
would,
but
they shouldn't be.
It wouldn't be like a monster resume post
right.
type.
No, you're telegraphing. Yeah. You're looking as you.
Yeah, and well, so let's ask us: where do these guys? Where are they going to generate those names from? Your ATS or from LinkedIn or from Jigsaw? Where do they usually go for those things?
Well, we tell them we use in our example. We use LinkedIn as an example of filling out the sourcing plan as a source. So we basically take that off the table. So then it can be, I mean, some people are, as you guys know, are incredibly creative. And they're looking at conference speaker lists. They're looking at new hires. They're leveraging hiring manager networks. They're looking at, yeah, they're looking in the ATS, although that's an active candidate. But, you know,
Animal,
they're
Animal
at
couldn't
references.
You just show up at any, you could show up at any desk and find 5 names. Even using your grandma's computer, couldn't you? I mean,
could you? Suitable
yeah,
names?
Yeah,
I don't
and
think
that
so.
Would just sit down here.
Five
and find
suitable
five
names
people.
Is, I think five names, 5 suitable names in an hour is a lot, wouldn't
no
you?
No way.
So?
No, it's
Come
not.
Come on, dude.
The
it's
key
not.
Is building the plan. The key is, and I would say this is true of a lot of work associated with recruiting. Can you manage a project? Can you, in a limited period of time, think through what are you going to do and how you're going to achieve, how are you going to achieve success? If you don't know what success looks like for a particular task, it's probably not going to come out well for you.
Okay, well, I think, and you told me in our brief conversation before the karate sensei started yelling at you for
yeah,
using your cell
did.
Phone in the middle of a class when he's teaching.
It was, I was standing outside. That's oh, not fair.
Okay. Well, before that happened, you told me that these sourcers generally don't know how to, the recruiters don't know how to source. Is that right, yes or no?
It is an opportunity area.
Okay, I like that. It's an opportunity area. I'm going to use that from now on. And so why don't they know?
It is, in fact, the area in which they struggle the most. I think their perception is they absolutely do not have time. I'm working 50 recs. there's no way I'm going to sit down and create some robust sourcing plan and then go work it.
Now, let me tell you something. I have a theory about, it's well known about hiring managers, but let's put them to the side. What kind of idiot gives somebody 50 recs and says, do a good job on everyone? I mean, that's moronic, isn't it? And those recruiters are not to blame. It's their managers or whoever sets their budget to hire recruiters. Don't you think so? Or maybe you can't say because those are your clients.
I mean, it's not like a bizarre, unusual happenstance. It happens a lot, and there are a lot of reasons for it, but it is absolutely unachievable. And you are going to have a crappy outcome for the most part, unless you just stumble onto some real finds. You've got to be able to influence as a recruiter, as a recruiting leader, to be able to tell a business-based story about why this can't work, it's not sustainable, it's not going to get what's done, and a lot of people struggle to do that.
I end up pushing back in my business on this exact topic every single day. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had to say to a hiring manager that I've got a recruiter serving, you're setting this recruiter up to have about 37 seconds a week on each of your recs. We got to back off.
Yeah.
And what happens?
Those
are the biggest knuckleheads in the world, okay? So,
but you know what?
What do they do?
In the big corporate environments, correct me if I'm wrong, it happens every single day.
Is that you, Adrian?
Lindsay, he's talking to you.
Yeah.
He's talking to you here. You want to answer?
Well, there's so many people talking. It's like my Passover dinner
table.
Don't
you make excuses, okay?
I was scared he wasn't. No, yes, I agree. First of all, it's cyclical. So it's not like you always have the same number of recs, and we don't have a sustainable.
Some idiot's got his phone open. Some idiot's got his, or no, that's a cell phone. Who's on the cell phone now? I'm ashamed.
We want to make sure that we're pretty realistic.
I'm going to put this person off.
I'm here.
Okay,
hello.
I got that person.
Over the years,
just so everyone knows, it's area code 253 today. Area code 253.
As well, if the average is 20 for a good recruiter, I've noticed the average is 40, 50, 60, 70. And, yeah, you can go up the food chain and say, well, this has to be addressed. And once costs get involved, it kind of gets pushed away and the can gets kicked down the road. Isn't that what you see on a – that's more the typical, not the exception.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay.
And then it all blows up.
How do you talk to these hiring managers, okay? How do you get them, persuade them to see reason?
Are you talking about hiring managers or recruiting leaders?
Who's the person who gives out too many recs?
I mean, this is a broader problem about the way talent is managed in companies. I guarantee you, if recruiters have 60 recs, there are other inefficiencies and poor processes and other parts of the talent-related stuff, performance management, succession planning, talent reviews, whatever, internal slates. It's a process orientation to getting
HR
stuff
done. Okay, okay, I'm going to cut you off.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I was stopping there anyway.
Okay,
that's
good.
Part of his shtick.
The question is, whose job is expectation management?
That's a very good job.
Answer Janice. That's exec job coach.
Right.
JaniceSpeaks.com.
I love that question because it's, as a recruiter, I've got to manage. If Jerry is my hiring manager, I've got to sit there in front of him, eyeball to eyeball, if possible, at the beginning of the rec and manage his expectations. Here's how the process works. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what I commit to doing. Here's the time frame. Here's what roadblocks we might encounter. Here's what, you know, you're going to see next.
So
are
if
somebody
you
going to
Manny, you're going to know that at the very beginning, aren't you? You're not going to get in trouble toward the end because you dealt with it at the beginning.
No. How do you know what the time frame is? You don't know till you go out and do the search how long it's going to take you to find the right people. How do you predict that?
I mean, 80% of the jobs are not these bizarre things we've never, ever
right,
encountered
Right, Animal.
Before.
Come on, dude. That was a ridiculous
Come
statement.
Come on. That
Linda.
You know what?
Yeah,
hold on. I just want to point
God.
Something out. This guy wants to cut Mike out of his show, and I can't say a word without him making comments like that, okay? Button
okay.
in just to
Sorry.
Edit, just to editorialize on what I say.
Key
I'm
phrase
there.
Key phrase. His
Linda.
Show. His
I
show.
I hated that. I hated that interruption.
On the other side of the coin, can I say something, though? On the other side of the coin, you cannot always manage, when I was a corporate recruiter, the time that the hiring managers would take to interview your candidates. I mean,
that's very true.
You know, and that's what delays the process most of the time.
That's a great point. Yeah. Who said that?
Yeah.
Kathy Manis.
What's your Twitter handle in case anybody wants to track you down, Kathy?
It's at Kathy Manis.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, we have to thank Jerry Albright for that. Kathy said that name was not available, and I was trying to come up with all kinds of alternate names for her, and Jerry just went and checked to see if she was right. You know, is the computer plugged in, ma'am? That's the first thing they ask you when you call the help desk. And it wasn't plugged in because Jerry just checked Kathy Manis, and it was available the whole time. I want to salute him for that. He
Linda.
Did her a big favor.
Thank you.
Okay, so Kathy asked that question. You know, you've got the problem then, and I've had this as a recruiter as well with big companies. You need three people for a panel interview. You find somebody on the
other coast
who's going to be in town for one day, and those people, it's a desperate to fill job, and they can't get the managers together to put an hour into the interview. What do you do in that situation, Linda? I want to know the very words you use when you're telling people to get their act together.
If you're in an environment where you have, I want 10 people on my panel, and I need 17 visits from the candidate, and then I'm going to blow them off while they're sitting out in the hallway when they've flown in from San Diego, you've got to take a planful approach to influencing. You've got to influence the senior leaders. You've got to influence the senior HR, and you put it in business terms. Here's the kind of time and money and energy we're wasting, and here's how many candidates said, I'm on a radio, you know, whatever they might say to, say, voice their displeasure and drop out of the process. But I still contend most companies are not like that. 80%, in my view, of situations can be managed. I should ask Jerry, look, I'm going to have candidates probably for you
no,
in
no,
three
ask Kathy
to four weeks.
Ask Kathy
ask
Manis.
Kathy.
She's the
I'll
one who had some problems. And, you know,
she's
it sounds to me like
great...
you're just
Would
no,
you
I,
just
I,
listen
I,
to her animal? She was, that was theoretical. That was a fake role play, dude.
I know,
she wasn't asking me anything,
I'm
really.
Ask Kathy. I'm not, exactly.
Thanks again, Jerry, for editing or editorializing on what I say. I really appreciate it. I want
oh
you to know
God,
that.
I'm like
and I won't kick you off the show for doing it, okay?
You should. Well, because I'm not being a dick.
Yeah?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was Cora.
Oh, you're being a tool.
I know, Cora. How's it going?
A tool. That's real good.
Animal, can we get back on track?
Linda,
can I ask a question?
Linda, it looks
to me like you're using some recruiter lube on us to ease your way out of that question.
Ooh.
Because you're saying
it doesn't happen
in any significant way. And I've had it happen to me, and obviously Kathy has had it happen to her. I want to know, if 80% of the time it doesn't happen, 20% is still significant. What do you say when they won't get their act together and you're under their thumb and whoever is eating her lunch there ought to use plastic cutlery when she calls into this show? Okay?
It's not me. Oh, good. I thought you were talking about me.
No, it's first
of all,
you know.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, I feel like my parents are on the phone. I feel sweaty and disoriented. Now, listen.
Linda.
If Kathy's a hiring manager, I'm going to say, Kathy, I'm going to be ready to fill this chair. I'm going to be ready with candidates in three or four or whatever weeks. Are you going to Europe by any chance? Are you going to be in the country? Are you going to be here to interview? Are you going to be available? Now, if I give you resumes, in the past we've had some problems with you taking longer. Can you block out some time on your calendar to actually look at some of the resumes or whatever your process is? There's no reason we have to act shocked and appalled every time the exact same problem children do the same things they've been doing all the time. We have to get out in front of it. It's not that hard.
Well, another way to deal with it is to go above their head and go to their district manager or whomever and say, look, you want this job filled. You've got to get your people to interview.
Instead of asking if they're going to screw it up, why don't you just tell them what you need? This is what we need to complete a successful hire. Are you available?
They won't
do
it. They won't do it.
What happens when
know.
You...
I... I like asking for people to pinky swear. Are you going to pinky swear you're not going to change the wreck?
Yeah,
are you
right.
going to pinky swear you're not going to swear you're not going to be on vacation when we finally find the stud candidates? Are you going to promise me you're not going to make 17 people interview them?
Well, if you talk to your boss that way, if you talk to your boss that way, is she going to punish you later on? I think so.
Well, my hiring manager? No, they love me. They hiring managers? No, they just want to. They just want to know what's going on too.
That's what you do under customer satisfaction survey, where it's anonymous, and then they'll do it.
Animal, can I say something, or would that be considered interjecting where I should?
Thanks for asking, Jerry. Go ahead.
Do you mind?
Go ahead, please.
I think the key here is the difference between asking and understanding from your hiring manager what their process is and either agreeing to that on the front end or not, rather than having no idea what the expectations are for once you have a candidate and then expecting that they're going to be in some big rush because you have this guy. So unless you're having that discussion on the front end, whether it's an internal manager or you're an outside agency, the process still needs to be understood by the recruiter before you go doing anything. And it's the problems come up when after the fact you're wondering, I've got this guy, and you're saying you can't interview him for 2 weeks and five people need to fly into town to see it? That's ridiculous. Well, if you haven't asked about that on the front end, it's your problem, not theirs.
Right.
But
that's
can
all
you
I have to say.
Can you then say, this
well,
is
really
what
don't
we have
want to
found
hire.
Works best? As a recruiter, to get you the best candidate, this is what we have found works best. This is what we have found is most efficient. Can you say that then?
Yeah.
In-house, you maybe can't.
Yeah, it's up to the agency recruiter, and there's obviously different viewpoints. But you either decide if that's a an agency recruiter isn't going to go around telling a corporation how to change their process for this job order that you've got in your hand. You can only gradually massage that.
Linda, you're allowed to press back, okay?
Well, I contend that it's a lot is about influencing, and a lot of influencing comes through with confidence is key to it. And if I'm a confident, knowledgeable, influential recruiter, I am going to sit down with a hiring manager and lay the groundwork at the beginning. And I'm not going to one of the scenarios we do sometimes in our assessment center is it's an intake meeting, and I'm the hiring manager. I might be the role player. It's not ever me, but for reasons that are obvious. But whatever, someone on my team's a role player, and the recruiter sits down. They know they've been prepped. They know they're here to do an intake meeting for a mission-critical job, and there's a lot of passion around getting it filled quickly. What they don't know is that the hiring manager sits down and says, you know what? I don't have time for this. I got to go. I got a flight to catch. I want someone exactly like Becky. It sucks she left, and find me exactly like her. I got to go. So it's all about, so what are you going to do? That's normal. So, you know, is it the hiring manager's fault? I contend no.
Mm-hmm.
But someone's got to commit them, though.
Kathy Manis happens
yes.
to be a former corporate recruiter who has spent a year with Arbita under the mentorship, I think, of the great Shally Steckerl, and now she's looking for a position since Arbita has gone the way of all flesh pretty well. So I'm wondering if she could make a little presentation of herself and maybe Linda could advise her as to where you think she would fit. Is that all right, Linda?
I love
Kathy,
it. I am
go
always
ahead,
looking
shoot.
For
Oh, that's great. Hi, Linda. I was a corporate recruiter at Sodexo for 6 years, overseeing 10 states within the healthcare arena. And Shally, that's where I met Shally. He would be our keynote speaker at our talent acquisition meetings on an annual basis.
Right.
And he did training with us, and I did extremely well and then went aboard with Shally about a year ago, wherein I was trained much further in deep web sourcing, never having to pay a dime to use LinkedIn or any other tool. And I'm looking to have another virtual position where I can pursue my passion of sourcing, and wondered what you would suggest. I've already utilized resume
or recruiting.
Strategy.
Is that correct?
I would do recruiting. I would. I would. But sourcing to me right now is like putting pieces of the puzzle together. It's so much fun. Resume Strategy did my resume. It looks gorgeous, and I'm ready to go.
My immediate response is call me after the show because I need your help.
Okay.
Yeah, problem solved.
Problem solved? If she was looking, we've got another friend of the show. I don't think she's here today, Don C. Kahn. Apparently she's also looking.
No, I think that's handled too. Based on your show a couple weeks ago, sounds like she has a new job.
But as of today, she was still posting on LinkedIn.
She doesn't have one yet.
Okay.
What was I reading about yesterday, though?
Le Brenda's also looking.
What you were reading yesterday, Jerry, she found a little temporary Christmas job, but she's still looking for a recruiter.
Sorry about
job.
That, no, dear friend, Mike.
Okay. So also, now Linda Renner. Remember her, the guest? I think I'd like to speak to her for a minute. Okay.
Thank
now, you
God.
Said. I'm going to quote you, okay? Is it okay if I quote something you told
me?
I don't
know. I was drunk last night when we were talking.
Okay. Well, you told
Picking
me.
Up your kids from the dojo, that's great.
Hey,
sitting out
hey,
swilling
listen,
wine in the back.
Me. Didn't we start the show off about not judging other people?
We didn't say that. We talked about not kicking them off the show. We judge each other constantly, okay?
Okay.
That's what this show's all about. Now, I'll just mention the topic then. You said you agree strongly with Jerry about candidate experience. So would you like to tell us about that? And Jerry might give you a chance to before he gives his opinion, okay?
I actually did. I did not know Jerry's point of view on this. I of course, love candidates. I love the brand experience. I love making sure they're treated and coddled, and it's a great experience. Of course, I love all that. However, if you got 60 recs, if your process is on fire, if only 2% of your ATS is being utilized, if hiring managers want to beat you up in the parking lot as you're walking out, candidate experience is probably not in my list of top 25 things I'm going to go out after.
And so when we see all these guys talking about candidate experience as the new frontier, what do you say to them? Some of those people must be your clients. They say candidate experience is at the top of my list of things to do. What do you say to them?
I say,
just what
also,
you told us?
Great. No, I would say then that's great. Your process is working well, and it's like employment branding was the huge thing, 5-10 years ago? It was like employment branding, tell a story, be aspirational. But it's like, okay, but it doesn't matter because when people get here, the whole thing's falling apart. Mm-hmm. You have hiring managers that are doing 12 interviews, having people come back 3 times. I mean, it's just, to me, it's a little illogical, but I love all the research that's been done on it.
Okay. Now, when you said the ATS has only been used, I think you said the ATS is only the applicant tracking system, their computer with all the resumes and stuff in it. It's only being used to 2% of its capacity. Is that what you said? We've heard a few times here that recruiters don't search their ATS for candidates for new jobs. Want to talk about that a bit?
I think that a lot of ATSs are significantly underutilized. I mean, what do we see all the time? We see people keeping spreadsheets of their jobs. It's like, oh my God, you have Taleo. You have the most robust reporting mechanism possible. Well, but we don't really track people through the process. We really don't close recs because we're not using it for onboard, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's such a slippery slope. And then you have a $250,000 solution that nobody uses. And in fact, people are totally intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like from what you're saying, that there is a lot of opportunity for third-party recruiters to help out these confused companies. How would, you know, this show is primarily listened to by third-party recruiters, I think. How would we best approach these companies to get our feet in the door and work these searches that they're too busy to handle, obviously?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's a huge opportunity right now. If you put a pin and a 100-mile radius around your location right now and nail down which are the company headquarters that are based right here, you could call the TA leader and say, I know for a fact you're the talent acquisition leader
talent
or the recruiting leader. And you could say, I know for a fact that you're struggling to fill IT jobs fast and well right now. I can help you. Healthcare, I know for a fact you've got nurses, PRN, whatever it is, I can help you right now. People want their problems solved. It's just a matter of talking to the right person at the right time.
I disagree 100%. I think that they should call human capital consultants, get a contract recruiter, and solve their problem much, much less expensively.
Absolutely.
That's a good approach, too.
Productive quickly.
Okay,
by the way, Linda, Alan Fleur, I'll send you an email. Based on a call this morning, I'm looking like Kathy is.
Alan,
oh,
we
great.
Can work together.
Okay.
Alan.
Yeah.
I'd love to,
oh,
Kathy.
Yeah, and he's great. So I've interviewed him.
Adam,
you
I have
a
question
job
for your guest
too?
Earlier that you did not
you know
let me ask. Can
it,
I ask it now?
Everybody on this show is going to be out of a job soon. Okay, but listen, if you call up, when you
I'm
call
looking
up,
for a job every day that I wake up.
Linda,
yeah.
My guest,
yeah.
When
yeah.
you call up the TA, the Talent Acquisition Manager, and you're presenting yourself, does it really make a big difference if you're a generalist recruiter or if you've got a specialization?
That's a good question. So here's my pet peeve. When people, friends that are out of work that ask me, and this happens a lot, it happens to all of us, like, you know, can you help me connect? Or, well, what are you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for anything. Well, where do you want to work? We'll work anywhere. Well, you know what? You just made it basically impossible for me to help you. I need someone to say, I get that you recruit in every single area. I get that you'll do whatever. But I want you to say, look, I'm targeting UPS and I want to be a business analyst. Or I'm looking at CVS and I want to be in a whatever, associate pharmacist or whatever. I am a recruiter and what I specialize in, pick the toughest, the most annoying jobs right now, call center leaders, healthcare recruiting, IT, anything in IT. If you can do that, position yourself. I guarantee you 80% of the time, if you've, you know, done 2 seconds of research on Hoover's, you'll be able to, they'll be like, oh, it's exactly what I need.
Okay. I'm not sure I understood that. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Linda, the question that I would have regarding talking to the TA manager would be, are they actually the right ones, or is it more the hiring managers and the senior execs that really have the juice? Because the TAs, in many cases, my experience has been, they're good people, and many of them do good work, but once you bring in this solution, some feel threatened.
That's a great point, and it's totally true. I concur with that. Every company's different. I mean, a lot of big we work with Fortune 500 companies, so they've really clamped down on hiring managers going off the range. Whether that's good or not, I'm not commenting, but they need to go, you know, they get a rec approved, it gets lit posted internally, blah, blah, blah. So it does go through TA. TA does vet vendors sometimes, and it's just they're kind of the liaison when they do use headhunters or recruiters or whatever you call yourselves. But in other organizations, if you know, look, the recruiters, they don't really go through them, go directly to the hiring manager. It's a little bit of reconnaissance you'd have to do.
And you know what? Also, I have found, we work in more in the mid-market space, I have found that more often than not in the last few years, it's the CFO of a company who's looking for recruiting solutions. They're the ones that are seeing the bottom line revenue
yeah.
loss of open positions, and it's finance that's bringing us in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and depending upon the industry, it's a very easy argument because it's a very easy opportunity cost of lost revenue if it's not an overhead position.
That's exactly right. Yep, and look,
okay.
Unemployment in the U.S. is down now more than it's been in a long
okay.
time.
I need the floor. We're way past halftime Andy's moment. Is he on the call?
Me?
Oh, I'm here.
You
yeah,
want
where
to
you
shoot?
Been?
I'm just patiently
you
waiting.
Floor.
Halftime.
Aw, Andy.
I don't interrupt.
Halftime report.
Linda is clearly a badass. In fact, with the karate theme, I believe she's probably the Mrs.
Her
Miyagi.
Her name's Linda. Okay. Her name's Linda, not Brenda.
No, I said Linda. I know Linda.
Okay.
Linda. No, we go way back.
Yeah, Linda is probably the Mrs. Miyagi of recruiting process optimization.
I'd prefer if you called it Mrs. Miyagi.
Linda, did
okay,
you get a Walnut Hill?
I'm in that one stance, that pelican stance right now as I present this too.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm also glad that she actually gave the keys to a hot order. The keys to the hot order recruiters are not only the specs and the keys to the position, but also understanding the process. Because if they can't see your people, it's not a hot order. Even if it's a great job to work with the specs, You have to understand the process. And
absolutely,
it's easy to see why Linda left corporate America and is now selling to corporate America, because she wanted to get paid more to be able to drop the F-bombs that she does. That's all.
I haven't done that one single time. I've been very, very diligent about.
No, I'm just telling you.
That's impressive.
She's a complete badass. And,
no, but we like
nice.
You do.
Great guest.
Okay, now,
thank you, Andy.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I have an announcement myself. I did lose my one sponsor. He said he might come back. You know, $2 a show is a bit heavy. But as of this morning, I have a new sponsor, my old friend, my old buddy, Greg Durgarian at TempWorks. I haven't worked up an ad yet, so I won't do one today, but I just want to make an announcement. Thank you, Greg Durgarian. That's it.
Hey, Animal.
Now back. Yes?
I need you to send me your address so I can send you a check.
For what? You're doing being an advertiser as well?
Absolutely.
You know what, Animal.
Well, for Broad B, is this Rayanne? Hey, Rayanne,
no,
did you
Rod
happen
Bean.
To follow up?
Rod.
Who is this?
Broad Bean.
Oh, Broad Bean. Wow. Hey, I mean, like, I am rich. I'm going to be making $4 a show, and it only cost me $10 to do the show. That's just amazing. I am rolling with money, but
you
let's get right out of the
government.
Guest.
Thank you, Rayanne.
I just want to say that I don't know if you saw that follow-up I put to the Cat Stevens video, but you should watch it if you didn't get a chance. Now, let's get back to our girl of the day, okay, Linda. We've talked about candidate experience. We talked about hiring managers. Let me see. You said common problems are unclear roles. What does that mean?
A couple of different things, but unclear roles and responsibilities in the hiring process. Who is doing what? What's the role of HR is a perpetual fun conundrum. Mm-hmm. What's the role of a hiring manager, and what's the role of a recruiter? And if a sourcer or a coordinator's in the mix, it's, you know, throw it all up in the air and see where it lands. So unclear roles and responsibilities. What does good look like? What am I being held accountable to do? What's my goal as a recruiter?
You know what? We like to talk in concrete terms here, but I will note that you had a blog posting that says, you know, be really clear with your employees and tell them who's doing the job right and who's doing it wrong. So the guys with a lot of potential, they're have a reason to stay because they know that their good work is being recognized. And the people who aren't doing such a good job, they're kind of on notice that they're expendable, and at least they know what the path forward is. Is that what you recommend very strongly as well?
Of course, and that's actually my broader talent management pet peeve, where in companies we're like, shh, you're high potential, but don't tell anybody. Because telling people this 10% or 25% that they are high potential, they've got runway, they're going to get promoted, they're on a candidate slate, it would be horrible to tell them, because then we'd have to tell everybody else why they're no good, why they're not doing it. So we just say,
it
you know what, we're not telling anybody anything.
You know, it would be nice if someone would let my guest finish her statements before they have to put their 2 cents in. I'll give everybody a chance to talk. Just say you want to talk when she's finished.
Oh, my God.
I said it three times.
You
haven't let me ask my question yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. What's your question?
No, let her finish. Go ahead, please.
She's finished
now.
Oh,
I was just going to make a snarky comment about paying Animal to come to dinner with me and my parents and my family, because then he could defend me because I get interrupted. But go ahead. That was Steve.
That's
so I'm sorry,
yeah, like,
this
I got a chance,
but I wanted to ask my question back
That's
when you were talking
we
about
we
evaluating recruiters.
Hey, Mike first, and then we'll move on to whoever else has a question. Mike A. Stringer, go ahead.
So, again, it's a little outdated, and I apologize for that. I tried to ask it at the beginning, but
that,
when you're going into
preamble,
evaluations of recruiters and recruiting processes, are you finding that today's recruiters, corporate recruiters, are a little more skilled than what we used to call HR ladies 10 or 15 years ago?
HR ladies.
Well, that's a loaded question, because you're implying that I've been doing this for 10 or 15 years, and I'm not that old. But I do think that it's all over the board. I think we're back to, I think it was Kathy's point, that if people are able to focus on what they're good at, I'm a good sourcer, I'm not good schmoozing with the hiring manager and schmoozing with the candidate. Let me just source. If they're able to do that, they get really good at it. But when we give them 60 recs and we say it's full life cycle recruiting, it's really hard for their strengths to emerge.
But there was a time where most organizations didn't even have a good sourcer sitting in their corporate HR or their corporate recruiting department. Are you seeing more of that today?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And I do
we help people, though.
I'm not one of those sourcers that just puts their nose to the grindstone and doesn't put my head up. I mean, I want to talk to people, and I do like talking to hiring managers. But I love doing it all. But, there are some shareholders
that do not
want
to talk to
people.
You don't have to advertise anymore during this show. Okay? Mike Astringer, do you have a follow-up? Do you want to say anything else?
That was it, Animal. Thank you.
Now, I think Alan wanted to say something as well. Did Alan Fleur have a question or a comment? He's not even here? Okay. Anybody else have a question or comment they'd like to introduce at this moment?
Real quickly, Leigh Brenda is a recruiter also job hunting currently.
She is? I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And,
fine. So I've got a whole list of people to talk about in the future. Go ahead.
Okay.
Anything else, Janice?
Linda,
anything else, Janice?
Did you go to Walnut Hills?
What?
Go to Walnut Hills?
You're talking to me, Linda?
I am.
I don't know what Walnut Hills is.
That answers my question. Because you went to school in Cincinnati. That's why I wanted to know.
Oh, no, I didn't grow up in Cincinnati. Oh,
okay.
I get it. Yeah, no, that was good.
All right, thanks. That's
Janice, JaniceSpeaks.com. JaniceSpeaks.com.
Right.
And her young son, the boy wonder, is Job Search Coach, okay, on Twitter. Always asking me the snarky comments or making the comments. They're in the nasty little questions he likes to ask them. That's okay with me. I take it all the time from everybody. Anybody else have a question or a comment? Anybody else have a question or a comment? Anybody else have a question or a comment?
I have a comment.
Who's that?
That's Linda.
Sure.
I just wanted to bounce something
off. Linda, you're not commenting. You're telling. Go ahead. Tell us, Linda, what do you want to talk about? You got 15 minutes.
One thing I think that's happening and we're going to see over the next couple of years, and I'd like to get your all's opinions about this, is the idea that we're going to see TA functions kind of breaking into two separate groups. One is the full life cycle style of recruiting where I do think is going to be broken into more often a couple of sourcers and then front-facing people to influence candidates and hiring managers. But then I think, and we're seeing this in pockets, where there's like a SWAT team of badass recruiters that have those mission-critical jobs that if the company, if it's vacant for a day, the company's losing money and it's go time. And it's kind of like, okay, you two guys go do whatever it takes to fill these jobs. And it's poaching, it's doing what you can't do when you're saddled with the manufacturing style recruiting that's necessary when you get 1,000 applicants for one job opening for a training coordinator or a business analyst or whatever. What do you guys
question?
Say? Question? Do you buy it?
What is the difference between what you just described in full life cycle recruiting?
Are you saying that instead of just a TA department, there's now going to be a T and A department?
Oh, Lord.
Jerry, you're not me. Don't try.
I think what she said is that the function, it's just going to be division of labor between specialties. Is that what, yes or no? Is that what you said, Linda?
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't clear. No, I think part of it is going to go off the grid. I think part of it is going to be we just got to do whatever it takes. And we're not – nobody's paying attention. Now,
when you say whatever
anyway,
it takes,
it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
It's really –
it's a very good point, though. I think because I come from full life cycle recruiting, and I think what's happened is it has been broken down to different functions. And I think what you just said was there's going to be a portion of recruiters who are going to do whatever it takes and everything. Is that not full life cycle recruiting?
Yeah, but they're going to be off the grid. So rather than
what's
that mean?
What does off the grid mean?
Isn't that what agencies are for?
It's exactly what agencies are for. But I think those people are going to. So it's like we have all these rules. Come on, we're OFCCP, we're AAP, we're EEO, we're all compliant. I'm auditing you as a recruiter. Every single job's got to be posted. We got to have minimum and preferred quals defined. We have to have job specific questionnaires built into the system, and then you got to track every candidate, and then you have to disposition every candidate and blah, blah, blah. You got to put your notes in the system and da, 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 da. Then when they have a merchant open or a digital strategy leader or some new job that didn't even exist 6 months ago, it's going to be like, hey, Jerry, go fill this job. I don't care what it takes. We mm-hmm. will, you know, whatever we're going to do, we just got to fill the job. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. No. Okay, never mind.
I still see that being an outside service, an outside agency. That's where
that's where the
agency is going to evolve.
We understand. I got two questions.
Well, this brings
before
up a great topic, though. I mean, do you see the need for outside third-party contingency agencies lessening with corporations having stronger internal recruiting functions?
No.
Ah. Why not?
Yeah!
I think companies are going to get way smarter about parceling out stuff to give to trusted outside stud recruiters, and they're crazy not to do it. That's what we help companies do. Try to pick your battles. Do what mm-hmm. you do best. Do the high volume, low level jobs. Don't send a high HR manager out to a search. Send your IT developer, your .NET dude jobs, out to your .NET. You know, it's all about using your resource. You got to be smart about it. It's not sustainable what companies are doing right now in many cases.
Okay,
two questions.
Thank you. That was good. I like that answer. It was very clear and easy to understand. Now, I got a question from Chris Fleek, one. Those numerals kill me. Chris Fleek, one, regular listener. I don't know if I've ever mentioned his name on the show before. He wants me to ask you what a proper cold call to a candidate looks like. We don't always ask that question, but I think you know the answer. And we also want to know from Frank Zupan, couldn't make it today, but he's the head of a talent management function or talent acquisition function in a big corporation. And he says he wants to know what corporate person like him come into the show and analyze what's wrong with consultants like you. So I'd like you to tell us, you know, how to analyze and say if your consultant is a good person or doing the right thing. What are the expectations we should put on someone like you? How do we know you're doing your job well, et cetera? First, the cold call. When you're advising these candidates whom you say are very bad at interviewing, they don't have any good skills because they're so scattered, but what should it sound like when they call a candidate for the first time to engage them properly?
It depends on who you're calling, and it's a function of how much you know about that person. Are they overqualified and you're trying to talk them down?
No, you don't really know about them. You come up, you gave that guy an hour to find five people. He's calling one of them now. What are you going to say to that person?
Right, so that's cold calling is one of our modules as well. We give them people to call. They call. You got to have an elevator speech that's about 12 seconds long. You have to have a compelling argument for them to listen to you, because chances are they don't want
to give us
your
an example.
Call.
Example. That's one of our keywords on this show.
Jerry, I know you don't know me, but I want to tell you about an awesome job that's perfect for you. Bada bing. What
you
got?
But you don't know that it's perfect, and you know he might not be honest. Consider it awesome. Wouldn't you say those
all
are
all I'm trying
like,
to do is to get him not to hang up on me at that point.
Well, I think he will hang up because you're making assumptions. You're not relating to him personally. It's just
okay,
too...
Okay, you know what?
You're overthinking it, animal.
Thanks, Jerry.
But I got a question. That's actually a great question for a search person.
But
don't give
up. I got a question about that. In today's security or whatever you want to call it, couldn't that scare somebody? I know you don't know me, but I've got a perfect job for you.
And then you go,
no,
and then you say,
I'm
an HR lady. No, I you guys are the search people. You guys are the
okay,
search people.
Got to move on. How do you assess a consultant? If you're bringing, because on your blog, you say that people really should bring someone in to audit their recruiting processes and, you know, with and see, you know, where they're weak, you know, where they're wrong. And you list a whole bunch of things.
Sorry.
That they should be checking. I can read them back to you. How should a corporate recruiting manager assess a consultant like yourself?
I would say, what results are you going to drive in what time frame? And let me talk to people that you've done this work for.
Okay. Because what you say, hire an objective third party to assess how easy it is to apply for an open position, fill a job, onboard a new hire, complete a performance review, sign up for a training program. A fresh set of eyes will identify best practices as well as outdated ways of getting HR work done. Okay,
that's awesome.
Just say what are your references and what's the time frame and what results are you going to bring?
What are you proposing to do if you're going to do process improvement for me? What results are you going to drive? And that depends on what goals the company. What do you want to change? You want speed of hire, quality of hire, the amount of paperwork. I mean, but it's got to be results oriented. It's got to be linked to the business needs. And then
okay.
I would definitely say, let me talk to people that you've done this for.
Uh-huh.
And they would say, oh, my God, she's awesome. She's fun. She's so pretty.
I'm telling you, Michael.
Yeah, you know what? One of your endorsements said, I recently attended a national recruiting conference where Linda was a keynote speaker and sat on a few panels. I had the pleasure of hearing Linda speak on how to improve quality of hire. As a recruiter, I found her talk to be the most applicable at the conference. Is that one of your strengths, quality of hire?
That's something we are very focused on. We think that's a big deal. And I told my mom to simmer down with the evals.
I didn't even get the joke, but I'm pretending to laugh,
okay?
I got
a high brow
for
most of your listeners, Animal.
You talk about your family a lot. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to make some – I had some other question, and it just slipped my
mind.
There's
a great question on Twitter right now. Did you see it from Jason Lee Overby?
What is the question? Go ahead. Tell me.
What happens / how does she handle telling her client that a recruiter has to be chopped when they are beyond repair?
How do you fire someone?
I don't fire anybody. If we're doing an assessment center, it's really for development, but we talk about people that are, you know, in struggling, and there's other data points. It's not just from a one-day program. You've got other data points if they're struggling, and we talk about what the approach should be. So it's a variety of approaches, but our whole thing is not – actually, what we mostly find is people that have unbelievable skills that we're not leveraging because they're working too many racks or
– I'm fucking believable.
What? Uh-huh. What did you just say?
I don't know what happened there. Let's just move on. It wasn't me, okay? But anyway, okay, just a couple of more things I'll mention then since we don't have much time to talk. You said that HR should ban silly goals like manage stress better and improve quality of life or anything that doesn't map to critical job skills, right?
Right. Yes.
All that airy-fairy stuff, you don't like that stuff, right?
I don't care if you want to learn French or open your own sweater boutique. That's not a development plan. That's absurd.
What idiot is talking on the phone? I don't have time to cut him off. No, I don't have time to listen to them.
Yeah, you're a busy man. Busy man.
Somebody who's using a speakerphone and shouldn't be, okay? Now, here's the last thing we'll say. You also say hire more interns, and that's the way you build up your talent pipeline for recruiting in HR. You know, bring the kids in from the local schools, see if you like them, and then hire them when they're done for school.
No, not for HR and recruiting. No, but building pipelines where you have talent gaps in your organizations, you're forward-looking over the next 2 years, you know we need more analysts or we need nurses. Oh, my Lord. Come on, we're all dealing with these. Let's have a multi-pronged approach to building the talent pool, and a great way to do it are these are schools to say, okay, we're going to break this down to manageable pieces, bring some new blood in, and see who's got gumption, initiative, conscientiousness, and let's see how they do. Let's use it.
Okay. Well, I think we're done. We're done. Is there any last question? No? Okay. You
great
know, do you
guest.
Have any
one
party?
Of the best guests you've had in a long time.
Oh, who just said that? That is so sweet.
That was Mike Astringer, the guy that Jerry wants to block from the after show, who's good, you know, where they
I
judge
think
you.
That's horrible.
You don't know enough of the story, Linda.
Oh, they judge me? Okay.
Yeah, they
thank
judge
you guys.
You and
this
me.
Was really, really fun.
Hey,
and
thanks,
Kathy or whoever else, I look forward to talking to you.
No, I think Jerry was right. He was right about you, but don't continue on to his show because we're banned from there. Thank you, Jerry!
Okay. How's it going, everybody?
Good.
So do I hang up now so you can judge me?
Yes, hang up. Or you can listen.
You can't stay on here.
No, this is my show now. It's your show. Thank you, guys. That was actually a blast.
Thank you.
We're just going to evaluate the show.
No, it's fine. You know what? I can take it. All right, take care. I will talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Linda Brenner. Okay. Hey, Andy Gregory, are you still here?
I'm here, man.
Did we find a great guest for Animal? Finally. His
awesome.
Show has been lagging month after month. I think this might be the boost he needed to stay on the air.
Sweeps week, killed it. So.
Killed it. Nice. Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Lay a score on me here. One for Linda, and then one for Animal.
Just 100 all around. I mean, she's awesome. I honestly think she was just kind of getting started. I mean,
yeah.
She's good people. So.
Yep.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Because she wasn't used to the format of the show, it took her a few minutes to get on her feet. I think if the show was another half hour, she would have knocked it out of the park.
Cora May, do you have a score?
I'm being ignored.
I think it was great. I thought, what is that ringing?
Oh.
To me, it sounds like a phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no expert.
Wow, okay.
Brilliant.
I thought it was really good.
She's
I really liked
show.
I liked
she
her, and I
it.
Wish I could have heard her longer. I agree. If we'd been on longer, or if she'd gotten the format a little quicker,
I think
maybe
she forwarded us
by.
To her recruiter assessment center suddenly.
Yeah.
we're in the midst of a cold call.
I gave her a 95.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
95. That's 5 short of 100.
Yeah, just short of 100. And you know, if the show had been longer, I'm sure I would have probably been able to say 100.
Okay. And then,
by the way, Jerry,
if she's, I'm a little offended because I was on the show, you know, just a few weeks ago that she's the best person that's been on in months and months and months. So now I'm offended. I think
you
know
Cora May. I'm sorry. I am sorry.
If anybody's looking
for her, I like you better.
Jerry, if anybody's looking for a reason not to make a phone call, just call Animal. He'll give you one.
So what is your score for Animal, Cora?
Animal was pretty good today, and he was able to keep the show going. And if she talked a little bit, got a little bit too wordy, he kind of pulled her back in. So I thought he was good, too. I'd give him a 92.
92, all right. Hey, Andy Gregory, would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Would you ask Mike A-Stringer what his scores are and maybe a few follow-up questions?
A-Stringer, hey, what's your score, Mike?
So, I learned today that you don't necessarily have to agree with everything that someone says to respect what they have to say and like them. So I give the guest a 95.
I'll let Adam know.
A 75. I think he did a good job today, but I wish he would have let her complete some of her thoughts and let us get some more questions in. And I give Jerry a 25 at trying to be me with the TNA comment.
Hey, Jerry, Mike wanted me to let you know that he gave the guest a 95, an Animal a 75, and that's all he had to say.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Cool.
Tell him his score has been received.
Okay, good deal. Hey, Mike, Jerry got your score.
That's great. Thank you.
All right, Rayanne.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure Animal, because I had to call back in from my mobile because I am on the road now. I wish that I had been able to hear the whole show. I didn't jump on until about 20 after, and I really, like everybody else has said, did not get enough. So I'm going to give her a 90, and I'm going to give Animal a 90 as well. I thought what I heard from him, he kept it on track, and I appreciated that. So I wanted to hear more from her, and I think he got as much out of her as we could.
Awesome.
Hey, Rayanne.
Yes.
Just so you're aware, yesterday I purchased a handgun and my bacon lube came in the mail, so I'm all ready for the party.
Oh, God. I saw the handgun. Congratulations.
Thank you.
New owner of handgun.
What kind did you get?
I don't really want to see the bacon lube. Keep it at home, please.
I think he might shirt open a little bit, so I was just going to.
But you can bring the gun, apparently.
Yeah.
So, Mike, what kind of gun did you get?
It's legal as long as it's not concealed, right?
Actually, my concealed weapons permit is pending.
Okay.
We would prefer that in conjunction with the bacon lube, that he does keep it concealed. Hopefully you'll get that license
very soon.
I'm sorry, somebody speaking?
Very soon. Okay, what other scores do we have?
Kathy's here.
Is it Eastringer? What is the post office thing?
Post office
thing? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, what does your postman think?
Of what?
The bacon lube.
It came in a plain brown package.
They're probably used to delivering plenty of plain wrapped.
You beat me to that, man.
Damn. Kathy, let me again just say how refreshing it is that you've got finally a fantastic Twitter name, Kathy Manning.
I know, and I
nothing
have to
more,
say.
Nothing less. When I saw Animal suggesting L.A. Recruiter 1, Recruit, all that stuff.
No. Go with your name.
People who don't use their name, come on, people.
I think Resume Strategy had a good point. I think that my other company held it for a year, and then they release it after a year.
I really don't think that any of that stuff happens.
I hope
you could have got it 6 months ago.
Kathy, I hope it's okay now. If you need to get me, you can reach me at KathyManus1.
C-Manus1.
Yeah, I
think
I want to congratulate Jerry on getting rid of the ObamaCon.
ObamaCon?
That was my... people
his
don't know what ObamaCon
is.
My Twitter picture.
I remember that one.
He's a beautiful little boy. Let's name him
now
Jerry.
Now he's a lovely little boy.
Jerry.
Hey, enough about me, you know. Kathy, what are your scores?
I think they were both great. What I liked about Animal today was he was low-key, so it was a little bit more relaxed and not as...
Margo wore him out last night.
Oh.
And he said as much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was too laid back, I think.
I think for the guest he was good. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it, actually. It wasn't... After
I was just saying at the beginning. His intro was very laid back. I missed him yelling and screaming and stuff.
But the last night with Margo, I think, wore him out. So No, it was her show. You had to listen.
I don't need to know that stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to know that.
Well, no, it wasn't
Dirty
anything
minds
bad.
Out there.
It was how he was on the show, on her show last night. Anyway, so I'm going to give them both a 90. I think it was a great guest, and I think he did great.
I take it I missed a really great show last night?
On HR Margo, Compassion HR.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I had set a reminder to do it, but something came up and I couldn't.
Was just really off the wall, but it was good.
Yeah.
Off the charts or off the wall?
Probably
off the wall.
Both. Okay. Any other scores? Great people. Wonderful callers. Anybody?
You think, Jerry?
92 and 92. This is
I liked it. I thought
Jeff,
she was great.
Jerry, don't go ahead of me like last week.
Hey, all right.
Uh-oh.
Remember that influence thing?
2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. Not going to happen.
I'll give the guest a 90. And I'll give Animal an 80, which you know in my book is high marks.
Wow.
He did a good job. I kind of like the low-key Animal. He was enough of an animal. He was enough of an animal to be Animal, so it wasn't like he was going too calm on us or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked it if he kind of stayed on track. He jumped back and forth between kind of the agency experience and the corporate experience a little bit for me. Not that I can't follow it, but, you know, let's keep it organized. But other than that, he's pretty good.
Dave Manister not on the call today?
Hmm?
He must be out looking for another scoop. I mean, who's buying who today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Who's buying who? I'm giving the guest 95,
show.
Animal 80. I think she was a fantastic guest.
80?
It's And Cora, this isn't to suggest that you weren't a great guest.
No, I'm teasing you. Hey, I got coconuts. Don't even worry. I'm up here in Detroit. You know, don't worry about it.
I mean, we hear plenty of just, you know, what's your recruiting call? What's your marketing call? It was interesting to just get kind of just a whole different perspective from a person who's clearly on top of their game. I enjoyed it.
I did too, and she brought a good perspective to the whole situation too. I mean, she knows her stuff.
Yep.
And she was prepared, so no, I don't.
And she was confident. Too many people get shaken up by the way he is, but he wasn't like that today too. So there you go.
He was almost a bit intimidated, I think.
Well, she called him out. When I first joined the call, she was telling him, hey, I feel like my parents are on the call. What's going on here? I'm feeling so she called him out and told him to knock it off. So.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Cora, where did you say you were located?
Detroit.
That's what I thought. Can you stay on after the show? And I want to talk to you for a second after Jerry's show.
Sure.
Hey, go ahead. We all just hung up. Yeah, that's it. Show's over.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Have your phone number and I'll give you a call.
Come on, man.
That's what Twitter's for. Come on.
It's just a Detroit thing.
Just at least tell us what it's about. Give us a general theme, and then we'll
I might have a candidate of mine who's moving up there. His wife will therefore be unemployed, wondering about the economy up there for like a merchandising manager kind of person. And I didn't know what your area was, Cora, so I was just curious. I just heard Detroit, and my ears perked up.
Jerry, you work in the Detroit area too, don't you?
I haven't for the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I would like to buy about 20 houses up there, though.
You might want to try that.
You could probably do that with about 10 bucks.
That's the follow-up question, Cora. But.
Yeah, that's $10. You could probably buy that.
Seriously?
I work in the financial and I should say the technical accounting areas.
Uh-huh.
Merchandising manager? Oh, I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay.
You guys are free to continue that discussion as long as you would like.
After
I'm getting back
show,
to work.
Like I suggested.
Thank you, everybody. It's been great.
Yep.
You
Me
know,
too, Jerry.
See you all later. May you have a fantastic rest of the week.
Hey, everybody.
Bye.
Party,
bye.
Jerry.
Hey, did I get Andy?
And you know what, Barbara? If you want to fight with me.
Did I get Fleur's score?
I think
no.
He went off.
Did he bail?
I think
yeah.
You asked him and he bailed, yeah. He bailed in the middle of the show, actually.
Yeah, I think that animal asked him if he had any questions and he had gone.
He had already gone.
Yeah, he had already gone.
Wow.
Probably busy.
Okay. Okay, guys. Take it easy. See you next week.
Okay.
Have a great
Bye.
Week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. And you know what, Barbara, if you want to fight with me, we can do this offline. But we're
That's
not doing
fine.
It on this show.
If you want to take it personal, feel free. We're not even talking about you at all. We're talking about animals. So if you want to take it personal, feel free. I'm not even personally attacking you.
I'm not taking it personal. But quit screaming, you little baby.
I'm not.
Does anybody have any...
Nobody
wow. Has any
Everybody
yellow.
Has to talk over you all the time.
Really?
So, yeah, I have to raise my
voice. You're so full of yourself. Grow up.
Yellow.
What just happened?
Wah.
Is this a
recording?
Hey, hold on, everybody. Is that animosity real?
Yeah. I mean, she won't let anybody talk. Somebody has to talk over her. So she needs to shut up now. He knew what he was in for, and sorry if you don't like the results. We're all big boys here. Big boys, big girls. We're all adults. Yeah, if you're going to get, you know, hurt feelings over something of any kind of constructive criticism, don't ask a person for their opinion. You don't want the truth, don't ask. It's as simple as that. We don't like what we hear, but sometimes we need to hear it.
Whew.